Hello there, and thank you for tuning in to the Fundamental Fuel broadcast. This channel is dedicated to offering fiery preaching for the faithful parishioner. We know that strong preaching from the King James Bible has fueled the fire of the local church, making a difference for Christ in our communities and around the world for decades. Get your Bible, gather the family, and let's grow together through the Word of God.
Praise the Lord for Brother Stanley. Sam, you come right on. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mays. I want to say it's a real joy to be here this evening. And I praise the Lord for all of these preachers that cheer. I appreciate all of our ministering brethren all over the country. I just praise the Lord for each one of you that's been called and put into ministry. Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Said, for as much as in me is, that I'm now ready to preach the gospel to you that be at Rome. That I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For said it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm glad folk that have really been saved, really have been born from above and fully surrendered to Jesus. I'm glad they're not ashamed. Thank God. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him also will I confess before thy Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. The Bible said, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. The next verse said, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But verse 11 said, for whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Now, when somebody really gets born into the family of God, you won't have to walk down the aisle with them on Sunday morning and give their testimony.
That's right.
They'll have something to say. I believe that from the depths of my heart. When they really get born into the family of God, I tell you what I want us to do before we bring the message. I'd like to make this announcement. We had our first annual camp meeting at the Faith Baptist Campground. Now, that's about 75 miles north of here, about 6 miles north of Calhoun, Georgia. On Monday after the fourth Sunday in June last year, we had our first camp meeting. We had about 12 states represented. We'll be having our second annual camp meeting if we're living as the Lord's will.
Yes.
And if Jesus don't come back after the church before the fourth Sunday, it'll be on Monday after the fourth Sunday in June.
Yes.
We'd like to give each and every one of you a special invitation to come. We have a dormitory. We can take care of about 200 ladies and girls. And about that many men, about 200 men and boys. We also have a trailer park. We can take care of about 26 campers and trailers. And if you want to bring your tent, that'll be perfectly all right. We'd like to have you to come and be with us for this camp meeting. Now, that's at the Faith Baptist Campground, located about 6 miles north of Calhoun, Georgia. That's about 75 miles north of here. Now, we're going to stand and sing one stanza of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. And then we're going to bring God's message from God's Word. Now, you know, before John Newton got saved, he was infidel. But he got under conviction, that no doubt the Holy Spirit reproved him, and he was pricked in the heart for the Word of God, and he repented and believed and confessed Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, and he got saved, and he wrote this great old hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me.
Yes,
said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 16 years ago, I've been saved a little over 15 years. 16 years ago, I couldn't understand either, because I was natural-minded. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, folks just couldn't understand this around here tonight. People saying amen, people rejoicing, having a good time. I've been having a jubilee now for a little over 15 years. There's been some deep valleys, and there's been some winters, but thank God, he's the lily of the
banished.
I tell you, he'll be with us. I tell you, now if you've got your Bible, we're going to stand and sing one stanza of Amazing Grace, and then we're going to bring God's message. Wonderful song. The Bible said in 1 John 2:28, and now little children, said abide in him. That means stay with him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him that he's coming. Now, if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn with us this evening to Luke chapter 23, the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. Now, I want you to pray for us. We've been sick today. We've been in all day today. We've had a virus infection and we've been sick. But I ate a little soup this afternoon, a little cream of chicken soup, and I feel pretty good, and I want you to pray for me as we bring God's message from God's Word. I'm preaching on Calvary tonight, and if you've got your Bible, look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. The Bible said, and when they come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then verse 34. The Bible said, then said Jesus, he said, Father, he said, forgive them, for said they know not what they do. And the Bible said, they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, correctly read Luke chapter 23 and verse 33 and verse 34. I want us to look to the Lord in just a brief word of prayer. Our kind and dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow here in your presence this evening, I want to thank you for the blessings of life. I want to thank you for the blessings of health. I want to thank you for this privilege of being here this evening. I'm conscious that you know the need of each individual that's here this evening. I'm conscious that you know all about us, that you know more about us than we even know about our own self. You said, ask and it shall be given. You said, seek and ye shall find. You said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And as we come to you this evening, in Jesus' name, I'm conscious that you know the need of each individual that's bowed here in your presence. I pray that you would bless all the ministers that are bowed here this evening and the missionaries. You know the need of each individual this evening. I pray that you would bless us as we stand to bring a message from the precious Word of God. I pray that your blessings would be upon us this evening. I pray for that special anointing. You know what we need this evening. I pray that you would give us that we need. And whatsoever's accomplished, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we beg it in Jesus' name. I want you to pray for us as we bring God's message from God's Word. The Bible said, and when they come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. I want to preach on Calvary this evening. I want to use each letter in this word Calvary and bring God's message tonight. I'll be just as brief as God will let me be. And you pray for me now as we bring God's message from God's Word. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And in verse 18, he said, for the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, said it is the power of God. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear
and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. I say that's what we need this evening. We need the power of God. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, notice what Paul said right to these Galatians. He said, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For said it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why, if you met Paul early in the morning, he's talking about Jesus. If you met him in the afternoon, he's talking about Jesus. And if you met him in the first watch of the night, from 6 to 9, he's talking about Jesus. And if you met him from 9 to 12 in the second watch, he's talking about Jesus. And if you met him from 12 to 3, he was talking about Jesus. And if you met him from 3 to 6, he's talking about Jesus. And I tell you, we've got something to talk about, haven't we? Oh, praise God tonight, we've got something to talk about.
You're right.
Brother, I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Are you?
I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. Brother, I tell you, it's wonderful. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The Bible said, 1 Peter 2, 24, who his own self by our sins, in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. The Bible said, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, but just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death forevermore. But I thank God for that, don't you? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God tonight. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, the Bible said, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, the Bible said he suffered without the gate. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, the Bible said through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God.
It's wonderful. Hallelujah. We're getting on the trail. Amen. I tell you, it's wonderful. I've heard preachers preaching from the manger to the cross. I want to go listen. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible said, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the earth, but was manifested in these last times for you. I like that, don't you, Bobby? Glory to God. The Bible said, who verily was foreordained? The Bible said, before the foundation of the earth. Now that for C, that I'm using each letter in this word Calvary. That for C is Christ. Amen. I tell you, the Bible said, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. He's the A, and he's the C, and he's the first, and he's the last. And as far as I'm concerned, he's everything that's in the middle. He's my all in all. Oh, glory to God. Oh, praise God. The Bible said, listen, I want you to listen real closely. Oh, I tell you, brother, it's going to be amazing around here. We're liable to go to heaven tonight. The Bible said in John chapter, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Christ. I'm not preaching him from the manger to the cross. He was in the beginning. In his prayer, in John chapter 17. He said, and now, O Father, John chapter 17, verse 5, he said, and now, O Father, he said, glorify thy me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Yeah. Oh, and what about these Rushalites running around here saying that Jesus was God's first created being? He was in the beginning. Oh, praise God. The Bible said in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. I just wanted to ask the lady, you know, I was down in Florida. I can't remember right where I was at in revival, but I was down in Florida, in Bonifay, Florida. I was down in revival, and this lady came around, and she told me she was going to spend 100 hours. Now, she called herself a Jehovah Witness. I call them Rushalites. I don't call them Jehovah Witnesses. Now, if you're filled with the Spirit, if you've got holy boldness, and if you've been born from above, and you're out witnessing for Jesus, then you're a Jehovah Witness. Absolutely. Because Jehovah's your father, and if you're witnessing for him, that makes you a Jehovah Witness. Absolutely. Praise God, I'm a Jehovah Witness. Amen. I'm a Jehovah Witness. Jehovah's my father, and I witness for him. I do my best to witness for him every day. Oh, praise God. I told this lady, I said, who's this talking about here in John 1? In the beginning was the Word. She said, that's talking about Jesus. I said, you say it's talking about Jesus? She said, yes. Well, I said, verse 14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know the Word here is talking about Jesus. In the beginning was Christ, and Christ was with God, and Christ was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Christ, and without Christ was not anything made that was made. And in Christ was life, and Christ was the light of truth. Without him was not anything made that was made. Oh, it's wonderful tonight. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Boy, I like that, don't you? Praise God. Okay, he was in the beginning. When God said, listen, the Bible said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the whole face of the deep. And we see the Spirit as it moved, or as it brooded upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. So God was in the creation, and Jesus Christ was in the creation. Listen, and the Holy Ghost moved or brooded upon the waters like he moved upon me and you one day and reproved us and caused us to realize that we was lost. And when we repented and believed, and God said, let there be light, and we wouldn't have darkness anymore. Never been in darkness since. Amen. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:1. In Ephesians 2:1, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. When in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The Bible said in John 6:63, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. He said, the words that I speak unto you, he said, their spirit and said, their life. Okay, we're talking about Jesus now, ain't we? The Bible said in John 8:58, and Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, before Abraham was, I am. I love that, don't you? He said, I was before Abraham. Glory to God. He said, before Abraham was, said, I am. Who did he tell Moses and Aaron to tell Pharaoh that sent him? He said, just tell him that I am sent me. That's Jesus, brother. Amen. Amen. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Christ Jesus of the New Testament. Oh, thank God. Now, listen, the first promise that we have of a coming Redeemer is in Genesis 3:15, where God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the devil bruised his heel, but it won't be too long until Christ is going to crush his head. Just as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, Christ is going to crush that old serpent, old Lucifer, old Slewfoot, the old devil. He's going to crush his head just as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit. Oh, glory to God. When Adam and Eve yielded to the temptation, and when Eve yielded to the temptation, when the serpent tempted Eve, and she yielded to that temptation, she added to the Word of God, and then she yielded to the temptation, and she partook of the fruit, and she gave it to Adam, and Adam ate, and both of them realized that they were naked. And the first thing they done, they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons out of them. But the fig leaves were not sufficient. Before God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, the Bible said in Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also, and to his wife, Did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them? He didn't say, now, Miss Eve, I've slayed the animal. I want you to make the coats. God slayed animals. God made the coats. Adam and Eve didn't have a thing to do with it. He made the coats. He skinned the animals. He made the coats. He clothed them. And when God clothes you, brother, you're clothed. You don't have to worry about it. The Bible said, and you're complete in him. And you can't add nothing to completeness. And these boys makes me sick going around here trying to add works to salvation.
Yeah. We're complete in him.
Hallelujah. Brother Joe, we're complete in Jesus.
Yeah.
The Bible said you're complete in him. Amen. Boy, you can't add nothing to that or take nothing from
it.
No, we're complete in him. Okay, I can, the first modernist that we have any record of, I've got to hurry, it's getting late, Brother Mace.
Right,
I've got a lot of points.
We know her.
Now, I've got to, listen, I want to preach God's message, okay? Now, you follow me real closely now. Adam and Eve, listen, they had two sons born into the family, Cain and Abel. Now, Eve conceived, and she bare Cain, and then she bare Abel. Don't say she conceived again. They could have been twins, couldn't they? Now, I don't know. I'm not going to argue about that, but they could have been twins.
Yeah.
But the Bible said then she bare Abel. And they taught these children that it took a blood sacrifice. Because I can see old Abel, he brought that lamb. But now, and boy, he is a fundamentalist, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I can see old Cain, he was a modernist. He brought the fruit of his own labor. He probably bought the best fruit he had, but it wasn't sufficient. Now, God had respect unto Abel's offered, but the Cain's offering, God refused. God refused.
Yes, he did.
And listen, but he told old Cain, said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. But if thou doest not well, said sin, lieth at the door. And Cain failed to bring a blood sacrifice. And Cain is in hell tonight because he rejected God's plan. And God's got one plan. And that plan's for the rich. It's for the poor. It's for the common. It's for the yellow. It's for the white. It's for the black. It's for the red. And you either come God's way or you're dying to go to hell. I'm prepared to meet God. Why do you think God took seven of the, told Adam and Eve to take, listen, told Noah and his family, or told Noah to take seven of all the clean animals and all the clean fowl, and you was going to need them for sacrifice. And it took the best for sacrifices. And that's why they took the, of every clean animal, of every clean fowl, they took them in with seven. Oh, every time they slayed one of them little lambs, it was pointing to that day. What about when old Abraham went out there and offered up Isaac? They left them two lambs here and started up on the mountain, and he placed that wood on Isaac's arms, and Isaac said, Father, said, here's the wood and the fire, but said, where's the lamb? And old Abraham said, son, God will provide. Said, God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering. Said, God will provide. And he said, you two lads, stay here, you two men, while me and Isaac, or me and my son, goes down and worships and returns. He got him up there and bound him, put him on that altar, pulled out that knife and started to slay him. But you know what? Abraham believed in a resurrection. He believed if he had to kill Isaac, he believed God raised him from the dead upon that mountain. They said, me and the lad's going to go down and worship and return. I like that, don't you? Praise God. And John 8:56 said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and said he saw it and was glad. And God let Abraham look down across the centuries and let him see that day when Jesus would go out to Calvary and carry the sins of the whole world. My sins and your sin and the sins of the whole world, and shed his blood at Calvary that me and you might have this great salvation. Okay. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, just going to quote a few scriptures. Isaiah said, therefore the Lord himself shall give unto you a sign. Said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. I didn't say a young woman either, said a virgin. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, said, for unto us a child is born, and said, a son is given.
Yes.
And he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and he gave his life out there at Calvary. But that government hadn't rested on his shoulders yet. But someday, the government is going to rest upon his shoulders. And from David's throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 glorious years, Jesus is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen.
How
you like that, Brother Mason?
That's good.
Brother. Yes, hallelujah. I like that. Praise God. That's wonderful language. A government will be upon his shoulders. He'll set up his own government. Won't be no elections. Won't be no crooked politics involved.
Amen.
He'll put some ruling over 5 cities and some over 10. And Satan will be bound for 1,000 glorious years. And it's going to be a Garden of Eden right here on this earth. In Revelation chapter 20, John said, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that old dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they too lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The Bible said, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on which the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It said it 6 times. I believe it, don't you? They will be bound for 1,000 glorious years. There won't be a crooked tree in the forest. The thorn trees won't have any thorns on. The rose bushes won't have any stickers on. Listen. And the parched mountain will become pools of water. And the desert will rejoice and blossom as the rose. And he'll pour his spirit out upon all flesh. And the lion's appetite will be changed. And he'll eat straw like the ox. And the streets of the cities will be filled with clowns and boys playing in the streets. And for 1,000 glorious years. It's in the Bible. Just might as well believe that too. Amen. Brother, it's going to be wonderful. Amen. Oh, I tell you, it's going to be a wonderful time.
Yes, it is.
Well, we'll have knowledge. We won't even have to go to school and learn it. The Bible said the knowledge of the Lord.
Yes.
It's going to cover the earth as the waters shall cover the sea.
Yes.
And they tell me some places out there in the ocean, it's 17 miles deep. And what about when the knowledge of the Lord covers this earth and gets about 17 miles deep? You think it's not going to be all right? I like that, don't you? We've got this to look forward to. No wonder. No wonder. After John had seen, after John had seen the tribulation and the great tribulation, and after John had seen the church at the marriage in Revelation chapter 19, and was saying, hallelujah to the Lamb. And John seen us come back with Jesus on them wild horses. When he comes back and places his feet upon the Mountain of Olives. And John seen John seen us reign with him for 1,000 glorious years. And John seen the great white throne judgment. And God let him see the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And no wonder he said, he which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. And I don't believe Jesus that time. I believe John said, he said, amen. And now they banish me over here on the Isle of Patmos because of what I've been preaching and because of my testimony and for the word of God. And said, come on, Jesus. He said, come on. He said, let's get everything started.
Yeah.
He didn't say, wait a little longer. He said, come on, Jesus. He said, even so, come Lord Jesus. Well, I tell you, it's wonderful, eh?
Yeah.
Kind of got a little ahead of myself, but that's all right. Eh?
Yeah.
Hey, man, okay. You follow me real closely now.
Yeah.
From the time of
I believe the death of Zachariah. There's not another prophet until Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And there's 400 years there that we call the Dark Age, or maybe a little over 400 years, that they didn't even have a prophet. But the Bible said in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, there's a little virgin down there in Nazareth. Her name was Mary. The Bible said now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But the Bible said that while he thought on these things, he just couldn't understand what happened to Mary. But the Bible said that while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Said, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And said, she shall bring forth a son. And said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For said, he shall save his people throughout their sins. And it was 96 miles, approximately 96 miles, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Like the old Joseph and Mary. See, he couldn't be born, had to be born in Bethlehem. Couldn't have been born on the way. Had to be born in Bethlehem. Couldn't have been born nowhere else. Had to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's what the Bible prophesied that he'd be born. He couldn't have been born nowhere else. He had to be born in Bethlehem. Matthew 24:35 said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but said, my word shall not pass away. He had to be born in Bethlehem. And listen, when they got up to Bethlehem, the city was crowded. No room. The Bible, and she was born out in the stable. The Bible said in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them and them. The Bible said they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And said, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about. The Bible said they were so afraid. Said the angel, said, fear not. For said, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And said, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. The Bible said, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. Wonder who that crowd was. I said, a multitude. Bethlehem he was born. Right there in that stable. She took that little baby and wrapped him in them swaddling cloths. And that's the greatest gift that's ever been wrapped. That's when Mary took that little bitty baby and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him there in that manger. Okay, he was forsaken at birth. And then listen, the Bible don't tell us too much about his boyhood days. At the age of 12, he went up to Jerusalem with Joseph and Mary. And they thought he was out there. They started back from Jerusalem. They thought he's out there playing with them other children. And he's back up there talking to them doctors, wasn't he? They went back to Jerusalem, and they searched for him for 3 days. And when they found him, he was up there talking to them doctors and lawyers. He was asking them questions, and they was asking him questions, and they were amazed at his wisdom. Just 12 years old. Now the Bible don't tell us no more about him until the age of 30. John the Baptist never seen him. And so John, he came preparing the way. You're talking about a spiritual bulldozer, boy. He's cleaning up. John the Baptist was a spiritual bulldozer. The largest one that could be built. He came preparing the way. Brother, he is clearing the way. I've seen him down on the river of Jordan having a baptismal service. About that time, Jesus starts down through the crowd. John never seen it. About that time, old John stopped. John 1:29, John said, behold, look kind of young. That's the one I've been telling you about. Say, John, here he comes. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John said, look, and coming yonder. That's the one I've been telling you about. Yonder he comes. Let him down through the crowd. Back down into the Jordan. He said, John, said, now, won't you go ahead and baptize? Why, John, said, I have need to be baptized to thee. He said, why comest thou to me? He said, go ahead, John. suffer it to be so. To fulfill all righteousness. Now go ahead and baptize me, John. No, John baptized.
He didn't do it.
And when he come up straightway out of the water, the Spirit abode upon him like a dove. And a voice out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then he was driven away of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted 40 days of the devil.
Are we looking for the devil?
Are you listening? And then afterward the Bible said he's in hunger. But oh, thank God. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, "Friend, that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able also to succor them that are tempted." He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He had old Job hedged in, and he's got me and you circled in, and he's the circle, and we're them little dots in the circle, and the only way you can get to them dots in the circle is come through the circle, and he won't let the devil put nothing on me and you that we can't back. His grace is sufficient. Now every temptation, every trial, makes no difference what we're confronted with. God's amazing grace is sufficient.
That's right.
Okay, I won't say too much about it. Then he started his ministry. What about that morning when he walked down there and picked up that scroll and read from Isaiah chapter 61? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance on them that are in captivity, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." How would you like to have been there that day when he raised the widow woman's son? How would you like to have been there when he took them 5 little loaves and 2 small fish and fed a multitude of 5,000 besides women and children? How would you like to have been there? How would you like to have been on that ship when Jesus came out there walking on the water? Told old Peter, and old Peter walked for a little piece. He looked down and doubted. See, when he looked down, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sing. And he said, "Lord, save me." How would you like to have been there when he opened the eyes of old blind Bartimaeus? Wouldn't that have been something?
Yes.
How would you like to have been there when he called old Zacchaeus down out of that sycamore tree and said, "Make haste and come down, for said today I must abide at thy house." Said, "I'm going home with you, Zacchaeus." Said, "I'm going home with you, for the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost." And old Zacchaeus was up there in that sycamore tree. He just won't see Jesus when he won't see anybody. And when you get the one to see Jesus like that, that's when you're going to find
him.
Yeah. That's what old Zacchaeus said. He made haste and he came down. Yeah. Okay, I've got to go on now. C for Christ. Now we've got an A there. That's for assurance. Amen. You've got that A for assurance. You've got Jesus. You've got assurance. Yes. The Bible said, Jude verse 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." I like that, don't you? Now the Bible said in Jude chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible said, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." See, the Holy Spirit showed me in Dayton last year what is wrong with a lot of folk. Now you take preserves, see, I was born reared on a farm, and pear preserves, peach preserves, plum preserves, and if you don't eat them this year and you wait the next year, they just get sweeter and sweeter. And they may finally turn to sugar, but they'll never say her. And if you've been preserved in Jesus Christ and called, if you've been preserved, the reason why a lot of these folk got so mean, listen, they've been pickled. They hadn't been preserved. You take folk that have been preserved, they'll just get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And they'll finally get turned to sugar and grown to be with the Lord. They'll just get sweeter and sweeter. Oh, hallelujah. I like that, don't you? The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 through verse 13, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath to witness in himself."
Right, right.
Have to witness in himself. Ain't that something? "He that believeth on the Son of God hath to witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Verse 11 said, "And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life's in his Son." And verse 12 said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Right. And verse 13 said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
And verse 14 said, this is come to this, that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And verse 15 said, if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know. That we have the petition that we dissolve him.
Yeah.
I like that, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. Now, let me tell you something. See, I've got the witness on the inside. That's the reason why I know I'm saved. I've got the witness. I've had him. He's been in here for a little over 15 years now. And we've been supping together. I've had a feast going on down here for over 15 years now. We've been supping together. I've never been alone. I've got the Holy Ghost living in me.
Yeah.
The Bible said, Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but said, Christ liveth in me, and said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes.
I like that, don't you? Got him living right down here. My feelings may change 15 times in one day. Sometimes it may not feel too good, but see, if me and this book here corresponds, if I've got the witness on the inside, and if I love the brethren, and if I've been made a new creature, and if I love the church, and if I love the Word of God, makes no difference how many times my feelings changes. It won't change the Word of God. Praise God. I'm saved whether I've got a migraine headache, or whether I don't have a migraine headache, whether I've got cancer or don't have cancer, I'm saved anyway, because me and this book corresponds. I've got the witness on the inside. I love the brethren. I love the church. I love the Word of God. And it makes no difference how many times my feelings changes. The Word of God never changes. It will never change. I like that, don't you? Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. The Bible said, listen. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now get that 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Didn't get that.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. The Bible said to our inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. The Bible said reserved for you in heaven. Well, 15 years ago, I made reservations. Are you listening? I made reservations a little over 15 years ago. I made reservations for love when he comes back out. I'll be at the marriage. And when he comes back, I'll come back with him. Are you listening? Oh, praise God. I tell you, listen. You say, who's keeping your reservations? The Bible said in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. That's wonderful, ain't it? The Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, if you then being risen with Christ. See, I've already been resurrected one time. See, I was dead before I got saved. I was dead in trespasses and sin. Couldn't understand spiritual things. See, I was natural man. But when the Holy Spirit reproved me, see, when the Holy Spirit reproved me and caused me to realize that I was lost, and he took that Word of God, see, and it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, yeah. Listen, the Bible said if you've been being risen with Christ, we've already been resurrected once, said seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, said set your affections, set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth, for said you're dead and said your life is hid with Christ in God, and when Christ too is our life shall appear, said then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Amen.
If my life is hid, if my life is hid with Christ and it's in God,
yeah.
For the devil to get me, he'll have to go up there and get Jesus off the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
Now, if my life is hid with Christ and it's in God, then he'll have to go up there and get God off the throne.
Yeah.
Then he won't be mine. He'll be the owner. But you know what you'll do, man.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Why, I like that Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25 said, husbands, love your wives, not somebody else's. It's Christ also. Love the church. Said, husbands, love your wives. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And verse 26 said that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. And verse 27 said that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any other such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And if it's going to be without blemish, and you cut one little joint off my little finger right there, or one little joint off my little toe, and listen, my body wouldn't be with it. Listen, my body wouldn't be complete, wouldn't be perfect with it. And if it's going to be without blemish, every born again child of God's going to have to be that. If it's going to be without blemish. Now notice, are you listening?
Yes.
Said we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. And he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And if we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, and if it's going to be without blemish, if one member didn't make it, that body would have a blemish. All of it's got to be there. Every born again child of God is going to be there. I like that, don't you? The Bible said, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in it, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh. And that chapter starts off with no condemnation, and it ends up with no separation. The Bible said, Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, our distress, our persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We're counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loves. Now, thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. Death may separate me from my wife, but it's not going to separate me from him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, said, we're comforted, I say then, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. Paul said in Philippians 1:23, said, I'm in a strait betwixt two and don't know hardly what to do. But I've got a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And when they stoned old Stephen in Acts 7:55, now you're talking about a vision. Amen. Well, he didn't have 20/20. I don't know what kind of vision. The Bible said, but he being full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said he looked up steadfastly, not up here into the first heaven where the clouds are, not the second heaven where the moon 240,000 miles approximately and the sun 93 million. He looked all the way. The Bible said, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven, and the Bible said he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And as they stoned old Stephen, he said, I see Jesus. He said, I see Jesus. No wonder. Bobby, you remember? Mr. Sivers, you remember him from Rocky Acres Bible Camp. You remember that night you was there when Dr. Harold Sattler preached on The Star Still Shines. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter, one of royal authority, shall rise out of Israel, and smite the corner of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. Numbers 24:17, that's what Balaam said. And I can see old Brother Severus, when old Sattler preached, finished that message that night, he said, the star still shines. And I see old Brother Severus coming down that aisle, clapping his hands, first time I ever seen him, had his hands up over his head, shouting. Brother Joe, you was there, praising the Lord. And at the age of 83, in the Mary County Hospital, 1 hour before death, old Brother Severus had his hands up over his head, I got a picture of him, shouting in death's face. Had his hands up over his head. I've got a picture of him, Bobby. Had his hands up over his head, shouting. 1 hour before death, he was shouting. He was praising the Lord. He was looking forward to go home and be with Jesus. Looking forward. He'd been beaten with rods. Five times? Was it five times? And scourged three times. And was caught all the way up into the third heaven. And that's probably why God hadn't put that thorn in his flesh.
Uh-huh.
He probably could have never got him to done his will if he hadn't put that thorn in his flesh. Because, man, in the first part of that 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians is when he's taken, caught up in heaven. He said, I knew of mine. About 14 years ago, whether out of the body or in the body, such one could not tell you. And then right on down a little piece, a little bit farther, God put that thorn in his flesh. Listen, well, when they stoned him, left him outside that city for dead, that's probably when he made that trip to the third heaven. And listen, when his work was completed, he'd been stoned, left outside the city for dead, been scourged three times, been beaten with rods five times, he'd rode on the stormy sea many of a day and night, and he sat over in that dungeon at Rome, writing to young Timothy, and said, for I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Yeah. Let I fought a good fight, set I finished my course, set I kept the faith, and said, I've already made the touchdown, I've already crossed the goal line. He said, henceforth, there's laid up for me already. It's already laid up. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me up that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love is of him. He'd already crossed the goal line. Fixing to go be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother, I tell you, it's wonderful. I said, I'm persuaded that neither death won't separate me from him. Them angels, when Lazarus died, didn't say he looked over Jordan, seen him coming. Didn't say that. Said the beggar died and was carried by the angels. There's already encamped round about it. It's not too bad. When old Sister Blackstock was fixing to die up yonder at Corinth Baptist Church, Brother Marvin Blackstock's mother, and listen, one of the finest women that I've ever known in all my life, and that morning the boys had gone home to do up their work, and she said she woke up, old Sister Blackstock did, and said there's three angels down the side of her bed and two at the foot of her bed. You knew Marvin Blackstock, friend. You know them Blackstock boys, Bobby, they don't wobble on the axle. And I tell you, his mother just as sure seen them angels as I'm alive.
Yeah.
And she seen them angels. And she thought they'd come together to carry on to be with her husband. Now principalities, powers, things present, things to come, half death or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Some ain't it. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, half death, or any other creature. Paul just said he thought of everything he could think of, then he just said any other creature. The devil just might as well to get out of the way. He's lost the battle. Our captain's the Lord Jesus. He's the captain of the ship. I'm safe aboard the old ship of Zion. And Mr. Glass told me that when he was crossing in World War II, when he was crossing the ocean, I can't remember whether the Pacific or the Atlantic, he said that when they was crossing the ocean, said they run into a storm. And said they woke up and said the helmets was flying all over the ship. And said he walked up there, got up there where he could kindly see, and said, old captain, he'd been in storms before. He had the nose of that ship right into the head of that storm. Never way that storm. He's just going around and around following that storm. See, he's the captain. But our captain don't have to go around with a storm. He just goes straight through them. Our captain don't have to follow the storm.
Right.
He's in charge of them. And I'm safe aboard. Safe aboard the old ship of Zion. And the devils can't stop her. And his rubber devils can't stop her. And his demons and his evil spirits can't stop her. She's headed home. He just might as well stick it out of the way. She's headed home. Safe aboard the old ship of Zion.
You're right, Sam.
The Bible said in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're saved unto the day of redemption. John 3:16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10:28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. The Bible said, John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, shall not come into judgment as a sinner, but is passed from death unto life. In John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I like that, don't you?
Yeah.
Jesus said, John 10:9, he said, I am the door. Said, by me if any man enter in. Said, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pastors. Okay, I've talked to you about the A now. That's assurance. We'll talk for just a few minutes about the A.
Yeah.
That's love. Love, that ale is for love. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God.
Yes.
Said, therefore, the world knoweth us not. That the world just can't understand us, folk. They thought I was going crazy the first 5 years after I got saved. Studying the Bible, you know, they said he's going to lose his mind studying so much. So after about 5 years, they quit saying that. They said he's a nut, gone off the deep end. Yes. I'm telling you the truth, man. Oh, they said he's a fanatic. Said, he's going psycho.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, listen, friend, if you think I'm a dreaming tonight after I get through preaching and this service is over, don't shake hands with me. No, if you think I'm dreaming, just dreaming what I'm preaching tonight, don't shake hands with me after service, for you may wake me up. See, if I'm dreaming, I'm having a time.
Yeah.
So you just let me keep on dreaming.
That's right.
And the reason why a lot of folks afraid to fully surrender their life, they say, I just don't believe you'd have a good time if you fully surrender your life to Lord Jesus. That's why they're not having a good time. They've been bought with a price. They've been bought with a price, and God's having to beat them instead of bless them. And that's the reason why they can't enjoy themselves. You can't enjoy anything when somebody's beating on you. Said, therefore, the world knoweth us not.
That's right.
We don't talk like they talk.
That's good.
We don't dress like they dress.
Yeah, that's good.
We don't go to the same places they go to.
That's right.
We don't carry on the same kind of a conversation they carry on, and they just can't understand what's wrong with us. They tell me, said, well, you're not having a good time, are you? Well, brother, listen, I don't know what having a good time was, I got saved.
That's right.
And I'm talking from my heart.
Yeah.
Now, for over 15 years, I've been having a time. Oh, I've been having a jubilee. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, here is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And that's verse 11. And verse 19 said, we love him because he first loved us. And the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And verse 20 said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above even that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Yes.
The Bible said, Romans chapter 5, verse 8.
Where are you going next?
Listen. Yes. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 8.
hand of his love towards us? In but while we were yet sinners,
said Christ died for us. I like that, don't you?
John 15:13 said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know, this didn't dawn on me, Brother Joe, till about a year ago. This, for God so loved the world. Did you know, God's got a world vision tonight. There's almost 1 billion people in Red China, and God loves them just as much as he loves me and you. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. God's got a world vision this evening, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, now, that's the L. Let's get to B.
I'm with you.
C for Christ, A for assurance, L for love, and if you've got that, B for victory. You have it now. See, these folk that sing, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. See, if you're living in Canaan, you already crossed Jordan. You won't have to cross Jordan. We got too many people living in the wilderness. Grumbling and complaining like the children of Israel. Carnal. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ, said, I fed you with milk, not with meat, for said, hitherto you're not able to bear it, said, neither yet now are you able, for said, you're yet carnal. John chapter, let's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, but said, when I become a man, said, I put away childish things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, he said, brethren, be not children in understanding. He said, how be it? In malice be your children, but said in understanding, said be mean. They said, was a child, a spiritual child, understood his child, thought his child, but said, when I become a man, I put away these childish things. I've got a boy that's 7, my neighbor's got a boy that's 8. Sometimes they get playing. My boy will be 7 the 15th this morning. Sometimes they get to playing, and they almost get in a scrap. We have to discipline. We have to chastise our son. And sometimes their neighbor has to chastise theirs, but about 5 minutes later, they're back playing together. Forget all about it. See, he said, brethren, be not children in understanding. How be it? In malice be your children, see. I said, in understanding. He said, I want you to be men. And that's why we ought to be in the church. But you take in our churches a lot of times, folk get crossed to each other, they'll hold grudges for weeks and months and years and years and years. And that's a sign of carnal.
That's right.
Paul is, listen, Elisha and Elijah left Gilgal and they went to Bethel. That's where old Jacob was going back up to. And they left Bethel and went to Jericho. If you get everything settled at Bethel, you'll be ready for them giants at Jericho. You'll be ready for the battle. And they left Jericho and crossed the Jordan. And it was on the far side of the Jordan where the horses of the chariot of fire and the horses of fire. And old Elijah was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind. They went on the far side of Jordan. I pitched a sermon on, where do you want to die? Do you want to die in Egypt lost? Do you want to die in the wilderness carnal? Or do you want to die in Canaan with victory? Where do you want to die? You live in Canaan now. A lot of folk think Canaan's the top of heaven. We ain't going to have to fight no giants when we get to heaven. There's not going to be no land to possess. Praise God, when we get to heaven, friend, it'll be wonderful. Are you listening? I'm talking about the New Jerusalem. But now you follow me real closely now. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, Paul said, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? Said, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the Bible said here in Revelation chapter 3, now listen. The Bible said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Well, you say, Brother Sammy, how do you overcome? Well, the Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, and this is the victory that overcometh the world,
even our faith. Said, let me read that. For whosoever, let me read that. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the day that I believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and got born from above, I became an overcomer. And God just promised me here in Revelation 3, if I've overcome, that he'll not blot out my name. It's a guarantee. There's differences. Okay, now I'm going to close a minute. Just stay a minute. Now I'm going to close. That last A is for agony. A for agony. A for agony. I want you to listen to me. The Bible said out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22:44, the Bible said, in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications and strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. And out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed until his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. No wonder the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isaiah chapter 50. Listen, here comes Judas and that angry mob. And Judas betrays the darling Son of God with a kiss. And they led him away. And shortly after midnight, they started the trial. Shortly after midnight. And in Isaiah chapter 50, listen. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, he said, I gave my back to the smiters. My cheeks to them that plucked off the hairs. Said, I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, 6, and 7. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid upon him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. The Bible said, so he opened not his mouth, and they spit on him, and they smote him with the palms of their hands. And they plucked the hairs off of his face. And Pilate said, 7 times, I found no fault in this just man. Matthew chapter 27, verse 22, Pilate said unto them, what then shall we do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And then Pilate turns him over to the Roman soldiers. And they take him out there to that column, or to that stake. They tied him up on his tiptoes. And they took the cat of nine tails, loaded him in with acorn and shaped balls of lead, either a sharp piece of a spike or a sharp piece of a bone. And for 39 licks, 351 stripes across the darling Son of God's body. Sometimes the scourge would cut all the way through the flesh, leave a person's intestines hanging out. Sometimes it hit a person in the face, knocked out his teeth, and sometimes put out his eyes. Scourging always ended, either in fame or death. They led him back to Pilate's hall. They placed that crown of thorns upon his head. They cut the reeds and began to smote him on the top of the head. And can't you see them thorns? And can't you see his face is all bloodshot? Blood's running down his body. Listen. And then the Bible said, John 19:17, and he burned his cross. Went forth unto a place which is called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And let me tell you, somebody, I believe he carried it all the way.
Yes.
Now Simon hit him. Simon might have got one end on it. But Jesus helped carry that cross right on out the cup. Can't you see that morning? Listen, they've scourged him with a cat of nine tails. His body's cut all to pieces. And his face is all bloodshot. And that the thorns is cut out into his flesh here in his brow. Yeah. The blood's running down his face. Can't you see him as he starts out to Calvary with that cross? And I believe if the angels up in heaven could weep, I believe they wept that morning. I believe the angels wept. He said, look at him down here, Father. He said, let us go get him. He could have prayed to the Father at any time, and God would have sent him more than 12 legion of angels, more than 72,000 angels. But can't you see him now? Here he goes. Would somebody loan me a chair for a minute? Loan me a chair for just a minute. Hold it up for me. Still not complaining. Here he goes, Jesus. Got that cross on his back.
Yes, sir.
There he goes. Counting my sins. Your sins.
Yes.
The sins of the whole world. He's headed to Cal. No wonder Paul said in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the world's crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And can't you see him? Listen. Can't you see about morning? Think about the punishment he's gone through the last 2 days, and here he goes now. He's carrying that cross. He's headed to Calvary. And when we get out to Calvary, you know, history says it would usually take two or three Roman soldiers to hold one's hand while they drove the nail through that hand, and the spike through them precious feet. But not so with Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 17. He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. He said, no man taketh it from me.
Amen.
Or said, I lay it down on the Messiah.
Amen.
He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. He said, this commandment have I received of my Father.
Amen.
He just walked out there, Bobby, and placed them precious hands that had held the little children.
Amen.
Amen. He placed them precious hands out there. They drove the nail through that hand, the nail through that hand, and the spike through them precious feet.
Yeah.
Then they picked that cross up, and they dropped it down in that hole up. In Psalms 22:14, he said, I'm poured out like waters. He said, all my bones are out of joint. When a bone of his body broken, but every one of his bones was out of joint.
My.
Every bone in his body was out of joint. He said, my heart's like wax. Said it's melted in the midst of his my bowels. And his heart either bursted, or one of the main arteries to his heart bursted, and his blood gushed right down into his bowels. That's why he didn't live but 6 hours. And when they come along and they break the first thief's leg, when they come to him, they didn't break his legs because he was dead already.
Yeah.
He didn't live but 6 hours. Now I want you to listen. But when they dropped that cross down that hole of blood, Luke 23:34, here's the first cry. Then said Jesus, he said, Father, he said, forgive them, for so they know not what they do.
That's what
he
said.
Lord. And no wonder Ephesians 3:19 said him to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Which passeth knowledge. And he said, Father, he said, forgive them.
Amen.
The baton that spit on me down there at Pilate and smoke. Said, I want you to forgive that and that smote me with the palm of his hand. Them Roman soldiers that took it time about with that scourge beat me. Said, I want you to forgive them. Some of them got saved on the day of Pentecost. He said, Father, forgive them. For said they know not what to do. And the Bible said in Luke, listen, the Bible said in Matthew 27:44, the thieves, it's plural, the thieves also which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. At first both of these thieves railed on him.
Right.
But then this thief said in Luke 23:42, and he answered and said unto Jesus, he said, Lord, he said, remember me.
I like that.
When you come into your kingdom.
Yeah.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, said, verily, I say unto thee, said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And you know, these water ducks says that the reason why he didn't have to be baptized was because that the New Testament hadn't come in force, you know, because the testator hadn't died. But I've got news for them. This thief outlived Jesus.
Amen.
See, Christ is already dead.
Amen.
He's the first one to get in, Bobby.
Amen.
What about him? He said, today shalt thou be with me. He said, I'll go down there with you. He said, I got to make a trip down there to the hard earth anyway. He said, while my body's up here in the tomb, he said, I've got to go down there and in the resurrection, got to bring them saints out. Amen. Ephesians 4 said he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And his Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he said, Mary, don't you touch me now, for said, I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. Hadn't been home yet. And he said, today shalt thou be with me.
He did say.
When the one thing that separated the rich man and Lazarus, that was a great gift. But now, when a person dies, since Jesus died and rose again, we go right on to the heaven to be with Jesus. Paradise now is in the presence of God. Now you better listen to me now. I didn't say he went down into hell and preached. I didn't say he went over in that section. The Bible said in, listen, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, and when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, the Bible said he yielded up the ghost, and the whole veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, the rocks rent, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of their graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city. The Bible said and appeared unto many. When walking into town. How would you like to have been out there on the roadside when Abraham went walking into town? Said, appeared unto me. Listen now. What was the third cry? What was the third cry? John 19:26. When Jesus therefore, listen, saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, he said, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, he said, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now, he said, that disciple was John. He's the only one that was there. And he said, John, I want you to substitute for me now. He remembered the family circle. John had gone all the way. He went into Pilate's hall with him. John had gone all the way. He was standing at the cross. And he said, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, he said, woman, did you know Jesus never did call Mary, directly speaking to her, mother? He said, woman, he said, behold thy son. He said, look over here at John. He said, Mary, from now on, John's going to be your boy. And from now on, John, Mary's going to be your mother. And John got her and took her home.
Wasn't that nice?
He started hearing
now. Yeah.
Jesus wanted to leave his mother in good keep. And John had gone all the way. He was right there at the cross. He remembered the family circle, didn't he? He loved the home.
I'll never forget this night.
Oh, thank God. Then listen. At 12 o'clock, it's black dark. He was forsaken at birth. He was born in a stable. He was forsaken by his own people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was forsaken in life. Matthew 8:20. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. He was forsaken in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark 14:50. And they all forsook him. In fact, he was forsaken at Pilate's hall. Nobody to tell of the wonderful things that he'd done. And now, out here at Calvary, he's made sin. And Mark chapter 15, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Alois, Alois, lama sabachthani, which has been interpreted. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was black dark in the middle of the day. Nature now is forsaken. Thy hands. It's black dark. Christ was made sin. Then John 19:28, Jesus said, after this, John 19:20, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. He was so thirsty. The sixth cry, John 19:30, when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, it's finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Luke chapter 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, he said, Father, he said, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having said thus, the Bible said, he gave up the ghost. He died. He died. But he's thirsting tonight. Bobby's thirsting for me. Thirsting for you. He's thirsting for everybody in this audience. He's thirsting for you tonight. He needs you. I don't want to forsake him to you. I don't want to ever grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to bring a reproach upon him and upon the church. And then, notice, there's another letter there, and it's R. and his resurrection. After 3 days and three nights, he arose.
Yes.
Revelation 1:18, he said, I'm he that lived and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And said, I've got the key. Keys of death and of hell.
Hey.
He arose after 3 days and three nights. And then there's a little why there. And it's you. He done it for you. He done it for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I was a little sick. I had to take it a little slower than I usually take it. But I've done my best for him. I've done my best for him. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking around but just me and God. While our organist and our pianist comes and softly plays, please don't nobody leave now for a minute. I know it's late. I know the message was a little lengthy, but while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking around but just me and God. How many could truthfully say tonight, Brother Allen, I know my name's written in heaven. Now don't lift your hands yet. I know my Christian life's up to par. I know, Brother Allen, that I'm in God's perfect will. As far as I know, Brother Sammy, I'm in God's perfect will. I'm giving him my best. He's Lord of my life. How many can truthfully say that? Now you better thank before you lift your hand. How many can truthfully say he's Lord? He's ruler of my life. Would you slip up your hand?